That concludes the hearing on Senate Bill 723. We'll turn to Senate Bill 808, Senator Raskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and distinguished colleagues. The goal of 808 is to ensure that in collisions involving an automobile and a bicycle, whoever failed to yield the right of way or abide by the rules of the road is the one liable for having created the accident. Transportation Article 21-1202 appears to provide bicyclists with the same right to the road as motor vehicles when it says that anyone operating a bicycle, quote, has all the rights granted to and is subject to all the duties required of the driver of a vehicle by this title. And the equal right to the road is clearly stated in the code, but that does not mean that bicyclists always have an equal right to the road in practice. Because they're small, their right to the road depends on the law protecting that right, but the law has failed to do so in a number of ways. For example, if someone illegally opens a car door into a bicyclist that is going lawfully down the street, our tort law allows the driver's insurance company to blame the cyclist and decline to pay, even if the cyclist was obeying the law at the time. If a truck makes a right turn from the left lane and hits a bicyclist in the right lane, the law allows the trucking company to assert that it was partly the cyclist's fault for merely riding lawfully in the lane and decline to pay the cyclist's estate. So this bill attempts to clarify the intent of the law by adding four simple words, and only those duties, to complete this sentence. Every person operating a bicycle or motor scooter in a public bicycle area has all the rights granted to and is subject to all the duties, and only those duties, required of the driver of a vehicle by this title. So this change expresses the fact that a cyclist who obeys all the rules of the road specified in the code fulfills those duties for the purposes of the law. It adds joint responsibility for cyclists to watch for motorists as well as for motorists to watch for cyclists. By making these three small changes, we can truly say that motorists and cyclists together share the road.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's hear from Paul D'Estacio.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. Senator Raskin, we certainly appreciate the support we've received. My name is Paul D'Estacio. I'm a Maryland District 20 resident and a treasurer of the Washington Area Bicyclists Association. It's an organization that represents approximately 15,000 Maryland-based bicyclists and bicycling supporters. Current law, as Senator Raskin has pointed out, is unclear as to the duties that a bicyclist must meet when riding in Maryland roadways, and we support this bill as a means of clarifying those duties. Our organization gets hundreds of calls, literally hundreds of calls a year from cyclists who have been involved in a crash with a motor vehicle looking for advice on what to do. Typically, the individual has reported the crash, sought medical attention, called the insurance company, all that good stuff. But it's with the insurer that they tend to run into problems because suddenly the insurance company is unwilling to pay for the medical bills or a new bicycle. Frequently, however, it was the cyclist actually had the right of way, and it was the driver who broke the law. But the cyclist is being denied compensation because the insurance company, mistakenly or perhaps correctly, believes that the cyclist was somehow in the wrong. We've provided a handout, Exhibit 1, that has four common types of crashes where motor vehicles fail to yield the right-of-way to cyclists, but an insurance company has later asserted that the cyclist was at fault. Let me just highlight a couple of these real quickly. I think Senator Raskin accurately pointed out the illustration of dooring, where a motorist emerging from a parked car opens a door into the path of a cyclist. Maryland code prohibits occupants of a car from opening a door unless it's safe to do so. Nevertheless, insurers frequently blame the cyclist for riding in the door zone, even though cyclists are supposed to keep to the right, according to Maryland code. But the cyclist riding further to the left in the traffic lane, who might be struck from behind by a vehicle, is also blamed because he's in the wrong place. He's not supposed to be in the middle of the road. Left cross, another one of the terms, or another one of the incidents that we've got there, makes the same point, really. A cyclist is proceeding straight. A vehicle is turning left in front of the cyclist. Clear violation of the cyclist's right of way. But when a crash occurs, the cyclist is blamed for being in the wrong place. The Maryland law of negligence provides a rationale for denying compensation to cyclists in each of these cases, even though the driver has violated the right of the way. Senate Bill 808 would change that.
In summary, really, a cyclist should be able to rely on the legislature's pronouncements to meet their duties, to meet their duties of complying with the code. We're not asking for cyclists to get protection that's not provided by the code. If a cyclist runs a red light and gets hit, they're wrong, and they shouldn't be. They should be legitimately denied compensation. However, when insurers should not have the right to develop their own conflicting duties based on an alternative, conflicting theories in order to avoid compensating vulnerable road users. Senate Bill 808 resolves this contradiction, makes it clear, as Senator Rask has pointed out, and I thank you very much for your time.
I have a question. I'm a biker. I use it to commute. I use it for fun. And I've never been doored, but I've had a lot of near misses, and same with some of the other things. But I wonder whether – I think the law is pretty clear now. The biker has the right of way. The cyclist has the right of way. But the reason insurance companies deny the claims is because they have economic leverage. You know, they know that it's too much trouble for the injured person to go after them for $600, the cost, or, you know, $800, the cost of a new bike and the, you know, bandages and medical costs. I think that's what the real problem is. But I wanted to hear your response to that.
This bill is not going to resolve that inequity. You're right. I for me to go up against an insurance company is a tough road. I think what this really does is it begins. Actually, it doesn't begin. Cycling, as you know, I mean, I've been doing this for 40 years. Most people have been doing it for at least a couple of years less. But cycling really is gaining momentum, and laws and perceptions are changing. And I think what this really does is it aids in that change of perception, and it moves us in the right direction. It's not going to solve the inequity that you're talking about here, but I think it gives my lawyer maybe an extra couple of sentences to say to the judge.
Right. I think that's right. And you're absolutely right about in the District of Columbia, it's fantastic what's going on, and Montgomery County is pretty close behind in terms
we're
of
trying to keep
making it biker-friendly and having a lot of folks on the road. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Carol Sildorf.
Good afternoon, esteemed members of the Judicial Proceedings Committee. I'm Carol Sildorf. I'm the Executive Director of Bike Maryland, and we represent the hundreds of thousands of cyclists in Maryland, everyone from the three-year-old learning to ride a bike to the experienced cyclist. And we support House Bill 808. I'll try to be as unrepetitive as I can in regard to the testimony that's already taken place. As the previous speaker testified, there are a number of different types of crashes that take place when cars and bicycles share the road together. I'm going to focus on one particular type of crash, the right hook, and that's in the illustration there. And a tragic crash whose aftermath illustrates the potential for cyclists to be denied compensation with theories that would not apply to a driver. The illustration in the previous testimony depicts a right hook. This is a situation when a motor vehicle passes a cyclist that is riding to the right, and the motor vehicle makes a right turn in front of the cyclist, and that results in either crashing into the cyclist might stop abruptly to try and avoid that situation, the vehicle might crash into the cyclist, or the cyclist might end up crashing into the vehicle. That type of crash occurred in August in 2009 in Baltimore. The right lane had parked cars, and there was some open space within the lane next to the parked cars. Mr. John Yates was bicycling as far to the right as practical, as the law requires. He was staying out of the way of through traffic, but not so close to the parked cars that he would be struck by an opening door, which that was another example of what is a concern for cyclists. A truck started to pass him, and as he came to an intersection, the driver made a right turn and crashed into Mr. Yates, pinning him under the trailer, and he was killed. The police report stated that Mr. Yates should have been riding in the center of the lane and that at the crash was the fault of Mr. Yates, although Mr. Yates was not required to ride in the center of the lane. When the family of Mr. Yates filed a claim with the driver's insurance company, they were told that he had been negligent. If a truck passes a car and then makes a right turn from the left lane, the driver would not say that a car should not have been there. Everybody understands that when you make a right turn from a left lane, you have the duty to make sure that you can cross the right lane safely. Yet the most vulnerable of all victims, the cyclist, seems to have a duty that no one else has. Our concern is that the law currently provides a legal basis to deny a claim even when a driver clearly has failed to yield the right of way and the bicyclist is following the law. Mr. Yates had every right to be in the right lane where he was. The driver violated his right of way by making a right lane turn and running over him. And we really feel that if SB 808 passes, the insurance company would not have been able to deny a claim based on the belief that a cyclist should not have been to the right of the truck. So thank you very much for letting us share this information with you.
Thank you. Senator Stone has a question. Ms. Hilder? Senator Stone has a question.
I've read this and read, and I don't. I know what you're trying to do, but I don't know that it does it. By stating that you shall watch for other vehicles in the public bicycle area, that should, that I think, is the law now. And if the insurance companies are not paying because they're not going to pay if it's written, I think you're bound to watch out for other vehicles on the highway, whether they're bicycles, you know, or...
I understand what you're saying. We do feel that this will provide an extra level of clarity and that it really makes it clear that if the cyclist is following the rules of the road, that they're protected when it comes to a crash or fatality.
I sympathize with the cyclists, but I'm not sure it really accomplishes what you want to do.
Well, thank you, and I do think that Jim Titus will be able to explain the legal aspects in more detail.
Okay, thank you very much. Barry Childress.
Honorable Chairman, honorable members of the committee, thank you. Eating your lunch, I appreciate all the hard work you guys do. All right, I am going to try to be brief here and not go over things. I'm Barry Childress. I live in northwest Baltimore. I run a website, baltimorespokes.org. Been doing it for like the last decade. The reason I did is basically to answer some of these questions. Cyclists go, I thought this was the law, and the police said this. So I get a lot of stories. I get a lot of facts. I got personally involved when Nathan, can't pronounce his last name. thank you. Got killed because I put a post. This is what the law is. Bicyclist has a right of way in the bike lane. That was a law we just passed. And I talked to his father in tears, crying that the police are saying my son was at fault because my son crashed into a side panel of a car. You know, so it's, but we, again, I get the impression, and we, again, the facts, there are some, I don't want to say all, there are some cases, some police departments are very good, some not. It varies throughout the state. But where we do have an issue is when somebody thinks, oh, I think the cyclist would have been better off somewhere else. I started getting involved in promoting cycling when basically I'm riding with my daughter, she's behind me, and she doing what she was taught in school, riding her bike in a crosswalk. You're supposed to use the crosswalk when crossing the street. That's what she was taught in school. Police said, no, it's illegal to ride in the crosswalk. She's at fault. Okay, so we're coming up Kelly Avenue near Smith. I forget the name of the street. crazy intersection. There's sort of a right-hand turn only lane, so we're moving over and getting, we're going up to cross country. And so the driver sees us, you know, we had enough, but it sees us moving over the right-hand lane, so they decide to pass me on the left. Okay? They come up to my, up to me with my daughter behind me, and they stop. I figure they're going to make a left. They wait for me to pass and then turn across my daughter's path. Police said, cyclists at fault for not using the crosswalk. Okay, so I have two cases, should, shouldn't, what's the law? That's when I got involved. And I would appreciate, oh, and some of the importance here is you have to understand the police reports are critical if you do take the, you know, the at-fault party. If the police say they should have done something else, that that ruins your ability to collect damages, okay? And we'd like to correct that one bit of misinformation that said they got to stick to what is the cyclist's duty. We don't have to do go somewhere else. I mean, it makes sense in one end. If we're here, we got hit. If we're somewhere else, we wouldn't. But anyway.
Okay, Senator Raskin has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks so much for your testimony. So your response to the chairman's question, and I think Senator Stone's question, which is similar, is essentially by spelling out that the bicyclists are bound by the duties
right.
that they have, but nothing more than the duties,
correct.
Then you're not going to face a situation where certainly courts just improvise new rules
right.
that the bicyclists should have been following because they should have known there's some invisible common law of bicyclists out there.
Right.
And we're hoping that the insurance companies will also prove to be somewhat more pliable in terms
right.
of...
Right, but we're sort of trying to correct the initial, what goes down in the police report and stuff like that. When the police has the opinion, it would have been safer if we did this. And it might have been, but we're not legally required to do that.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Jim Titus.
Hello, I'm Jim Titus from Glendale, summarizing my written testimony, which is a PowerPoint. Mr. Chairman, no court opinion has said that bicyclists don't have an equal right to the road, so I should explain why it is that we think that the tort law tends to have that effect. And I'll perhaps say a little bit about the alternatives that we considered and the risks that this bill would have unintended consequences. The bicyclist's basic problem is that the bicycle is small, a lot smaller than the vehicle, motor vehicle, so when there's a crash, it's always the bicyclist that needs help. The contributory negligence doctrine denies that help if the cyclist or anybody has any blame. That always works against the cyclist because drivers don't have claims against the cyclist to begin with. But the real problem is that the definition of negligence is just so flexible because fault is basically anything that a jury thinks that a reasonable person would have done. And because bicycles are so small, that means that a reasonable cyclist prepares for the possibility that a driver will violate her right of way. So that in these common crash types that we've discussed, where it's foreseeable that a driver will violate the right-of-way of a cyclist and that and the crash happens, the victim is blamed for allowing it to happen. On page 5, having looked a little bit about the case law basically shows that, yes, when a cyclist's right-of-way is violated, it's a matter for the jury to decide whether the cyclist was to blame as well, except for D.C. off to the right where there is case law showing that if a cyclist is right-hooked by a truck, the cyclist is negligent as a matter of law. The other speakers, previous witnesses, have mentioned that both police reports and insurance companies often attribute fault to cyclists who actually had the right of way. This bill, now, we have first thought possibly that maybe what you do is simply limit contributory negligence in cases where the cyclist violated no law, but we hear that's a Pandora's box. So this bill focuses on the real problem, which is defining the duties of cyclists, codifying them. Now, if you felt that this went too far, we also, there is the possibility, of course, of of enumerating them duty by duty, and that would be a possibility, though that would make the law a bit more complicated for insurance companies and police. We don't think that this bill has serious unintended consequences, because when you think about the situations in which maybe you might say, gee, it's unfair to let this cyclist, for this bill to let this cyclist off the hook, those are situations where if that's unfair, a jury wouldn't call the driver negligence anyway. So when you compare this tiny risk of unintended consequences to the real problems this bill solved, the balance is in favor of passing this bill. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes the hearing on Senate Bill 808. Now we'll turn to Senate Bill 348, Senator Mano.